Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Back from a short period of time away from the microphone, away from Studio 63, but we're back and we are loaded for bear. Your Second Amendment is definitely on the agenda in the midterm elections. And if the Democrats retain control of the House and the Senate, look for more and more gun control measures designed to take firearms away from law-abiding citizens while continuing to do absolutely nothing whatsoever to take firearms from those criminal thug animals who steal them and use them to rob law-abiding citizens. My friends, we are less than a month away from the midterm elections in person. Early voting is already underway in many, many areas of the country, and that's scary stuff. I was reading this morning on the CBS News site. In the latest CBS News poll, Democrats are losing steam in many of the House races. If the election were held today, according to this CBS News battleground tracker, a YouGov or U.gov, was it YouGov poll, 224 House seats will go Republican, 211 will go Democrat, and that number is fading quickly. One can only hope. Meanwhile, still pandering, still trying to buy votes, Joe Biden announced a cost of living increase for Social Security payments for seniors. Seniors are smart. They are experienced. They are intelligent. Most of them will say, thank you for our cost of living increase, Mr. Biden, but that was owed to us no matter who the president is, and you are an idiot, and they will continue to vote Republican. That could only be the dream, and hopefully becomes the reality, my friends. Twitter has erupted after Joe Biden told a reporter that gasoline in California has, quote, always been $7 a gallon. Of course, when you fact check the president, the spin machine at the White House always comes back and saying, well, it was hyperbole. He was just speaking in generality. Prominent Twitter users attempted to fact check Joe Biden after the liar in chief told a reporter that gas has always been $7 a gallon in California. The inflation report is out, one reporter said. Have you seen gas prices around here in L.A.? It's $7 a gallon almost. That's what a reporter asked Gropey Joe as he paid for food at a Los Angeles taco shop. Biden replied like an idiot.
Well, it's always been a case here. You know, it's not what nationwide gas prices came down about $1.35. They're still down over a dollar. We're going to work on housing is the biggest, most important thing we have to do in terms of that.
Hey, Biden, what does housing have to do with $7 a gallon gas? Social media users rushed to criticize Biden for his claim that gas prices have always been around $7 per gallon. He claims, Joe Biden that is, that he's done the work to fix inflation, despite it sitting at a 40 to 41 year high, and half the people in this country are stupid enough to believe it. They can't even look in their own wallets to see that they're 8% emptier than they were last year, and that last year when Joe Biden was the president, they were 7% emptier than the year before when Donald Trump was the president. Bidenism at its finest in LA today. High gas prices is a housing problem? That's what Jim Gallagher, the Republican minority leader in the California Assembly, tweeted. New York Republican governor candidate Lee Zeldin offered up his own fact check of Biden, given the fact that gasoline was $3.36 a gallon in California the day Biden was sworn in as president. Zeldin tweeted, quote, false. When Biden was sworn in as president, gas in California was less than half of what it is today. California Republican Senate candidate Mark Muser also criticized Biden's claim and tweeted that the president was out of touch and his policies are now destroying the United States. He wrote, I'm sorry, Mr. President, but California does not usually have $7 a gallon gas. In fact, prior to you becoming president, $5 a gallon gas in California was considered extremely high. You clearly are out of touch with how your policies are destroying this nation. California Republican House candidate Scott Baugh chimed in on Twitter saying, quote, AAA reported that the national average price of a gallon of gas has climbed to $3.92 on Monday. However, in California, it is up to $7 a gallon. Biden has done nothing to stop this madness. In fact, his and Katie Porter's out-of-control government spending is causing Americans to suffer more. California GOP Chairwoman Jessica Millen Patterson sarcastically tweeted, quote, to be clear, Democrats in Sacramento and Washington are committed to making sure California has the highest gas prices in the nation. Great work at Joe Biden at helping us hit these all-time record high prices in the last year. So Biden came under fire for comments he made to reporters on Saturday. During a conversation with one reporter at a Baskin and Robbins in Portland, Oregon, Biden was asked if he had any worries about the strength of the U.S. dollar amid rising inflation. And while holding a chocolate chip ice cream cone in his hand, Biden answered,
I'm not concerned about the strength of the dollar. I'm concerned about the rest of the world. Our economy is strong as hell. Inflation is worldwide worse off than it is in the United States. So the problem is the lack of economic growth and sound policy in other countries, not so much ours. Worldwide inflation is consequential.
In other words, trying to pass the buck as he always does. This is the Truth Hurts program. By the way, it is the 18th day of October 2022. Forgot to mention that at the beginning of the program. For those of you keeping track, keeping score, this is the Truth Hurts program where we tell it like it is, calling out the lies of the left, the distorted Democrat view of the world. And guess what? I just found an article in Grunge written by Julian Oliver that kind of piqued my interest. Why a group of black psychiatrists wanted racism defined as a mental disorder. In June of 2022, Homeland Security issued a statement about the threat of domestic terrorism. Remember, all you Christian, conservative, Caucasian males were all domestic terrorists? All of you people who attended PTA meetings were domestic terrorists? All of those of you who still say that boys have a penis and girls have a vagina are somehow domestic terrorists? If you don't bow and worship at the feet of the BM movement, I'm sorry, the BLM movement, somehow you're a domestic terrorist? The issued statement from Homeland Security said that especially groups that target racial and religious minorities are domestic terrorists. Last year, the FBI director stated that white supremacy in the United States is a bigger problem than jihadism. They even promoted a bill to address the rise in right-wing violence via Congress. The increase in domestic terrorism and high-profile death of George Floyd, because he died of a heart attack and a drug overdose, not the knee on his back from Derek Chauvin, but they still want to call it a high-profile murder in African America. The increase in so-called domestic terrorism and the high-profile death of the criminal thug animal George Floyd have called for a renewed interest in the question of whether racism should be treated like a mental illness. In a news clip from 1992 that made its way around the web, Jane Elliott, who conducted a study in the 1970s in which she taught kindergarten-age students to develop a prejudice based on eye color, she announced on an Oprah Winfrey show back then that there's a problem with one's brain if they judge others by the color of their skin. Claiming that this is some new mental illness in general incites debate, but this is especially true with an issue as politically barbed as so-called racial prejudice. The debate is hardly unique to our time. Back in 2002, 20 years ago, a Harvard scholar named Alvin Poussaint published a study in the Western Journal of Medicine arguing that extreme racial prejudice is a symptom of psychotic disorder. This follows a conversation that began in the civil rights era where a group of psychiatrists wanted to radically change the way we think about racism. Way back in the 1960s, Extreme violence against African Americans led activists to want racism to be defined as a mental health issue. This would have created more extreme racism and caused extreme racism to be treated like many other clinical conditions, with psychotherapy and even medication to change people's minds. The effect of this would have resulted in redefining racism so that it would be a problem of an individual's psychology as opposed to a societal issue at large. And that Harvard psychologist, or psychiatrist rather, Alvin Poussaint, was one of the black psychiatrists from 1969 who originally advocated for the American Psychological Association to include racism in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the DSM. That's the book that practitioners use to describe and diagnose mental health conditions. Although the petition was rejected, Poussaint continued his advocacy, arguing that his study in 2002 continues perceiving extreme racism as normative and not pathologic is to lend it legitimacy. So far, people with diagnosable conditions have not been treated specifically for any tendencies towards racism that they may show, and some argue that treating it as a mental illness would create more problems. I can see it now. You use the N-word and you're white, then you can be charged with a mental disorder, rounded up, thrown in a straitjacket, and tossed into a psychiatric hospital where you would undergo shock therapy and other treatments and medicines jammed into the IVs in your arms until you say, "Oh, I love black people." Attempts to arrange the thought process and explain racial prejudice as an individual pathology has been around since the rise of Nazism. Racism, by and large, has been defined as a socio-political problem. I can tell you right now, folks, there are Italians who were persecuted. People were prejudiced against Italians back in the 1920s in the United States. The Irish came over. They were called terrible racial slurs and discriminated against. The blacks who were here were discriminated against way back when. What's the difference? Why are the Italians, the Irish, and even the Vietnamese, the Koreans, the Chinese, and the Japanese in this country all part of our society now and not treated so badly? Maybe it's because they assimilated into our culture. Maybe it's because they became Americans without the hyphen. Perhaps it is because they don't choose to create all of the trouble and commit all of the crimes that the 13% hyphenated American minority continues to commit. It's not racist when you point out a fact. It's not racist when you take the data and you show America that 13% of its population are committing 90% of its crimes. Violent crimes like rape, robbery, carjacking, home invasions, murder. From a legal standpoint, adding racism to the DSM could have repercussions. In 1981, a white man was acquitted after developing paranoia after a Chinese neighbor assaulted him. Then he assaulted the Chinese neighbor, and he used the defense of mental illness to get an acquittal. He said it was his neurosis was the motivator for the crime. It's worth asking, if Poussaint and other scholars get racism into the DSM, would it actually lead to undue tolerance for prejudice? Poussaint continues to fight for his research, and other scholars remain concerned that it would throw social factors by the wayside. Here's the deal. If you have a child, whether that child is black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American, purple dinosaur, little green Martian, when you sit all of those people in a room and you teach them stealing is wrong, killing is wrong, selling drugs is wrong, then it's wrong. But if one group within that classroom decides it's okay for me to go out and steal and kill and sell drugs because my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy might have, could have, beat him being a slave, so I get a free pass to commit crimes, and my churin, and my churin, churin, and my churin, 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 will get a pass,
because our skin is dark. And 400 years ago, they had black people that were slaves.
When that's the mindset that is instituted into the psyche, into the brain of a black child from birth, by his mama, by his grandmama, by his auntie, by the people at his church, the people down the road away from his house, that is a psychological issue. Chinese people were dragged here in boats and made into slaves. They were required to build the railroads. The Chinese people here in the United States today, descendants of those Chinese servants, they aren't out there begging for reparations. They got an education. They got a job. They contribute to society. They're not standing there with their hands out, making excuses for their continued failures. We are not allowed to talk about the actual mental capacity of certain races because showing test scores proving that a certain ethnic minority is just not up to snuff would be considered racist, even though it's based in fact, even though it's based in scientific data. The IQ tests themselves are being called racist because they don't paint the truth about certain ethnic minorities in a very good light, and therefore it must be racist. 1 + 1 = 2. It equals 2 whether you're black, white, Mexican, Guatemalan, Russian, Irish, Italian, Vietnamese, Korean, Filipino, from Zimbabwe, from Nigeria, from the darkest parts of the darkest parts of Ethiopia, Africa, Greece, Italy, Poland, Australia, New Zealand, Antarctica. 1 + 1 = 2. It's not racist. Math is not racist. But when they continue to fail in every measurable educational metric, the African American community tries to say that the program, the testing, the education is somehow racist. 1 + 1 = 2. Look, here it is. It's real simple. Here's one box. Here's a second box. How many boxes are there? The white kid says 2. The Chinese kid says 2. The Mexican kid says 2. The Russian kid says 2 in whatever language they speak. But when the black kid says 4 and they give him a pass because he's black, does it mean that 1 + 1 is actually 4? Of course not. Now, if that particular African-American child who grows up thinking 1 + 1 = 4 because I say it so, do you want that guy fixing your brakes on your car, cooking your meal, doing brain surgery on you? Chances are he'll never become a brain surgeon, not if he thinks 1 + 1 = 4. But the point is, if you continue to reward deficiency because someone played the race card, then you are going to end up perpetuating deficiency throughout the entire racial makeup of that demographic. It's that simple. You cannot continue to reward the failures of a specific ethnic minority in this country because it makes you feel good at night, because it helps you to sleep at night. Because when that member of that ethnic minority goes out and commits murder, robbery, rape, carjacking, home invasion, slashing, shooting, stabbing, and then you have to give him a pass because that is what you have done his entire life, then you have to come up with an excuse and try and play the blame game. Well, it's systemic racism. No, it's not. It's not systemic racism. It is your allowing the continued failure of that group. Instead of stopping and saying, we need to remediate the thought process, remediate the psyche, educate, stop making excuses for their failures. Teach them to integrate into society instead of constantly throwing their hands up and claiming that they are victims when they are not. This is the Truth Hurts program. Zoe Hahn wrote in Market Watch, "Get ready for one major impact of Joe Biden's inflation that won't hit until next year." I wonder what that could be. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time for inflation to rear its ugly head. Higher cost in healthcare is just one such aspect. Before I get into that, let me just say this. Butter and margarine in Joe Biden's continued above 8% year-over-year monthly inflation. Butter and margarine up 32%. Let me ask you this before I get into this healthcare business. If the inflation is truly 8.1% September of 2022 versus September of 2021, where the hell are they coming up with these numbers? Where? If butter is up 32%, if housing is up 31%, if furniture is up 30%, if everything is up double digits, every measurable item in the retail sector is up double digits, how in the hell is Joe Biden's inflation only 8.1%, which is still a 40-year high? Just answer that for me. No one can answer that question. In an NBC News poll, threats to democracy 20%, cost of living 18%. Those are the two biggest threats to the Democrats right now. And it's because the Democrats are out there lying, trying to tell people there's a threat to democracy, and it's anyone with a red hat. It's any white person who liked Trump. It's anyone who doesn't like me, gropey Joe Biden. He said the other day while speaking to the American Auto Workers Union that this inflation isn't necessarily such a bad thing. Fuel prices going back up. Joe Biden now being begged to allow leasing in the Gulf of Mexico, which, by the way, provides the cleanest crude oil in the world and costs a lot less to process because A, it's cleaner, and B, it's right here in our own front yard. My apologies. I have gotten off of topic, and let me get back on. Higher cost in healthcare is one such aspect of what will be delayed inflation into next year. Healthcare providers, insurance companies, and employers meet regularly to make decisions about the cost of copays, of premiums, and of service cuts, as well as price increases, and that happens ahead of the following year's open enrollment. If you signed up for a healthcare insurance plan during open enrollment last year, those rates were set into place before Joe Biden's inflation kicked in. Expect those rates to change dramatically. Healthcare costs increased 6.5% over last year, and that was slightly below Joe Biden's 8.2 annual rate of inflation, but it is the highest annual jump since 1993, according to government data that was released last month. Hospital services and nursing home costs have risen over 4%. Physician services have risen. Outpatient services have risen 3.9%. Open enrollment refers to the time window when people get to sign up for health insurance or make adjustments to their current plan, either through their employer, through the not-so-affordable Obamacare Act, or Medicare. When the 2022 Medicare open enrollment period began in October of 2021, inflation was already at a 6.2% increase from when Donald Trump was president the year before. And now, with 8.2 or 8.1, depending on which network you watch, this year, it's even higher. Well, what is 8 plus 6, my friends? That is a 14% inflation since Biden took office. Contracts are coming due. People are seeking higher compensation for their work, and that includes doctors, nurses, orderlies, attendants, x-ray techs, and all the folks who work in the healthcare industry. Because of Joe Biden's inflation, they're expecting a cost of living increase. That, I promise you, will be shown in the delayed reaction increase in healthcare costs brought about by Joe Biden's two-year reign of terror on our economy. 14% over the 20.5 months that Joe Biden has been president. When you consider it was 6.1 the first year in office, and now 8.2 the second year in office. My God. The state of Arizona started putting container trucks, those big shipping containers, stacked too high, connected to one another along the southern border with Mexico. They're building their own two-container-high wall around certain areas of the Mexico-U.S. border. But now Joe Biden's administration, who says we've got the border crisis under control, another lie, is demanding that the state of Arizona remove the double-stacked shipping containers placed to fill gaps in the U.S. border wall along the Mexican border, claiming that they're unauthorized and somehow they violate U.S. law. The Cocopa Indian tribe in southwestern Arizona welcomes the call to take down the containers in the latest rift between Biden and Republican-led border states over how to finally prevent illegal border crossings. The Bureau of Reclamation, another government agency, demanded in last week's letter that no new containers be placed on the border, and it wants the bureaucrats to prevent conflicts with two federal contracts that have been awarded and more still pending to fill those gaps near Yuma, Arizona. The unauthorized placement of those containers constitutes a violation of federal law and is a trespass against the United States, is what the letter said. The trespass is harming federal lands and resources and impeding the reclamation's ability to perform its mission. Wait a minute! The illegal, trespassing, criminal law-breaking, invading migrant aliens are trespassing. And the Biden administration is rolling out the red carpet, the welcome mat, and saying, come on in. But you think putting some containers near the border is somehow a trespass? I think the Biden administration has their priorities completely backwards, my friends. Doug Ducey is the Republican governor of Arizona, and he did not respond to a request for comment. But this Indian tribe, feather, not dot, is complaining that the state of Arizona acted against its wishes by placing 42 double-stacked containers on land near Yuma to halt illegal border crossings that have become a major entry point for criminal invading immigrants. The Cocopa tribe should be thankful that when we wiped them out in an act of war 150, 200 years ago, that we allowed them to keep any land whatsoever. They said in a statement,
we believe the Bureau is taking the necessary and appropriate action to resolve that issue. Beyond that, we will continue working side by side with local, state, and federal law enforcement on securing the border.
Ducey ordered the installation of more than 100 double-stacked containers over the summer, saying, he can't wait any longer for U.S. Customs and Border Protection to award contracts that it announced to fill the gaps in the border near the Yuma area. They're delaying, delaying, delaying. You might recall Gropey Joe Biden stopped wall construction day one of his administration, and now well over 4 million criminal, illegal, law-breaking immigrants have been caught at the southern border, with as many as 50 million more who have gotten away. Arizona has done the job the federal government has failed to do. And Arizona showed them just how quickly and efficiently the border can be made more secure if you really want to do so. That's what Ducey said when the containers were installed in southern Arizona. Ron DeSantis is continuing to fly immigrants from Venezuela to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. Ducey, like fellow Republicans Greg Abbott of Texas, have sparred with this Democrat Joe Biden administration over immigration policies, which are obviously failing. Free bus rides and plane rides to the East Coast for asylum seekers, who the Biden administration is simply releasing into Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona to fend for themselves. But they don't like it when they get dumped in the Northeast Biden country. Well, my friends, thanks for allowing me back into your podcast. It's been a few days. I do apologize, but we have been quite busy helping folks to recover from that massive hurricane down in Florida. Go out there and make it a great day. Happy Tuesday. We'll see you next time. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music provided by Jason Shaw and Audionautics.